Does the Lord say amen?
Amen.
I'm glad he's coming. Our Lord is coming. Thank the Lord. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Yes.
Been real good to us. Thank the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 for a little while. We'll exhort out of the scriptures. When he comes, he's going to fix everything that needs fixing. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. The Lord's not one bit worried about Russia, China. He knows how to handle cancer. He knows how to handle COVID. He knows how to handle your neighbors. He knows how to handle your enemies. He took care of yesterday. He's already sitting in tomorrow, and he's running today. I need a little help in here. Bless the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Help us for a little while, and we'll love you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said,
amen.
In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, I'll get turned over there. There are eight things, I believe it's eight, that we got into when we got in. All right, I'll run that by you again, and you can at least, you know, let's try again. There are eight things we got into when we got in. Oh, that's good enough. I take it. Y'all can be seated and I'll walk through this. Hadn't the Lord been real good to us?
Amen.
I've been preaching several weeks out of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I want to get in all the way, don't you? Getting in an hour where everybody else is getting out. And then we've been in Hebrews 6, verse 1. Let us go on unto perfection. And the Lord, he'd sure like to get us to the finish line.
Amen.
Hebrews 12 said he's the author and the finisher. He's going to finish this.
Amen.
And I got good news for all of God's youngins. He's getting you across the finish line. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord. So tonight, I had four or five things on my heart and couldn't get settled on any of them. I struggle a lot on Sunday nights. I said if I pastor, I'd probably just have a supper on Sunday night. And then if I get something on my heart, turn the tables upside down and preach. Amen. And but the Lord's had us in these scriptures, and right here at the end, I've settled on this. And thank the Lord, a friend of mine said, he said, I preach out of a burden. And if I got two or three nights of revival and I preach my burden out, I'm ready to go home. Well, I understand that, preaching out of a burden. But I suggested to him, you can also preach out of a Bible. I did. He's a great friend of mine. And I said, you better get past that, preaching out of a burden. And when God gives you a burden, go with it. But when the burden runs out, the Bible don't. I said, you can preach out of your Bible. He looked at me like I was strange. We never did get on the same page there, but that's all right. And this morning, the Lord delivered the burden on our heart. But tonight, we'll have cake and coffee. We'll have dessert. How's that?
Amen.
Had our vegetables and our meat this morning. And you know old Brother Percy Ray from Myrtle, Mississippi, he said, until you've had a strong sermon and a sacrificial offering, the Lord's not going to move anyway. That's what he said. And oh my, preacher, I got a burden. I've had a burden. And the Lord, I'd love to see God. He ain't got to do this, but I'd love to see him move in on us. Move in on our generation. I mean right here. Us and folks around us. For years I've had a burden to come to this area with a tent. And I'm afraid to talk about it. There's so many Fruit Loops out there doing crazy things. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want it to be a big social media thing. It needs to be a local church, a Holy Ghost thing. And I don't know. It's brewed in me for years, preacher. And I've stepped this direction more than once and can't make but one step. But what do y'all think if the Lord, boy, howdy. And we got to be careful that we're not charismatics. We've got to have the moving of the Spirit, and we've got to have the manifestation of the Spirit. We've got to have the ministry of the Spirit. I'm good with the miracles of the Spirit. But it all better be about Jesus. The Holy Ghost don't testify of himself. He speaks of Christ. And what differentiates that sincere church and that sensual church is one is a looking for the Spirit, and that ain't what we're supposed to look for. What is that manifestation of the Spirit? Well, he'll manifest Christ into your midst.
Amen.
Don't worship the manifestation, worship the Christ.
Amen.
What is the moving of the Spirit? Well, quit saying what and start saying where. Where's he moving you to? The move is wonderful, but where's this move taking us? Taking us to Christ.
Amen.
Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen.
The ministry of the Holy... Quit worshiping the ministry of the Holy Ghost.
Mama.
What does it minister unto us? Christ.
Amen.
But see, there's no show in that. There's no circus in that. There's no fireworks in that. And if they are, they're only for a moment. And we're not in here for the fireworks. We're in here for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, no, preacher, that sensual generation Jude talked about. Oh, it's a sensual hour that's upon us. But I'd like to see something sincere. Y'all. I don't know what to tell you. We need to pray.
Amen.
Lord. Oh, my. Preacher, I don't have any friends left. I was 13 when I started preaching. I was 16 when I preached my first revival. And it must have been a great one because nobody needed another one for 7 years from me. That thing, boy, it must have been better than I remember, preacher. It lasted 7 years. And great tribulation. But I was 21 when I started pastoring. And I attached to the old men of God. And your preacher is one of my friends. But do you know most of the older men of God have either gone to glory or gone to pasture? Their minds are gone. Their bodies are gone. And I'm losing. I had this many older preacher friends. I only got this many left. I love hanging around him. I love being here just to be around Brother Lawson. We're not a worshiping a man, but we're appreciating a man. 46 years he's been here. He told me that at lunch today. And thank y'all for the great meal. And I immediately thought of the scripture, Jesus. 40 and 6 years they were building this temple, he said. There's something to that, preacher. I don't know. It's not for me to know what, but there's something to that. At number 46. And then brother Sunday school teacher back here, they've been married 46 years.
Amen.
So you got in on that somehow. I don't know how, but catch the tail skirt to that and enjoy the ride. You're in on the 46 thing. Oh, my. And so most of my preacher friends were older men, and I'm 53. That is real old if you're real young. But that is not old if you're really old. I'll let y'all figure out where you land in that. I'm just sharing my heart for a minute. I'm relaxed. How are y'all doing? I'm just sharing my heart. It's all I know to do. I've never played church. I'm not going to start now. Preacher, I started some Sunday school classes in my church. I was in my 20s, pastoring, and I said, all right, we're going to have older adults and the younger adults. And three or four women said, well, now, what is that age right there? And I said, I don't know. I had a little wisdom. I wasn't going to tell some of them women they were older. Oh, my. And then, preacher, I've had some friends that were my peers and my contemporaries, my age. And I had that many. And they've all went another way. That old path. I guess it wasn't fun enough. It wasn't lucrative enough. It wasn't exciting enough. It wasn't American drawing enough. And the funny thing about when your friends leave the old paths and then they act like you betrayed them and you're the only one that hadn't changed.
Amen.
They'll act like you're persecuting them. No, we just can't put our stamp of approval on your apostasy.
Amen.
I need a little help right there. We're losing the South. We've lost the South, I think. That great heritage. Even our best old-fashioned churches. There's such a withdrawing of the Spirit. There's such a introduction of such worldliness. And I don't know that anybody can do anything about that. There's such waves of worldliness has come in on our generation and on our nation. Same like Brother Lawson, you correct me if you need to. After World War II, that drawing power turned to the Jews and started bringing them back to the homeland. And that drawing power greatly diminished off the Gentiles. And you and I are living in an hour where I believe we're somewhere at the end of the church age. But I want to wave the banner all the way till we cross the finish line.
Amen.
And if the Lord, if he's not popular in America, I still want to do it his way.
Amen.
And I'm a praying the Lord helps us. Wouldn't it be something, preacher, if the Lord got to stirring in our midst? Not just this flock, but in our midst. Ooh-wee. I'm willing to go in the inner chambers, y'all. I'm willing to go in the highways and hedges, y'all. Oh, my. We need him. Amen. God don't have to give us a great big move of God for us to say that the Lord's faithful. The Lord's going to be faithful if he gives us just a little half a slice of bread.
Amen.
But I'd sure like to see him breathe on us. In our generation.
Amen.
And right here at the end, this book of Hebrews, think about it, church. Preacher Lawson, think about it with me. Tell me if you feel like I'm on track. I feel like I am, so don't tell me for another month. Are we back to the book of Hebrews in this church age? In other words, the church started by the Lord appealing to them Hebrews, come on in. We're fixing to go get a bunch of Gentiles.
Amen.
And the gospel's for everybody, and he's telling them, come on in. And I know that as a nation, blindness in part. I was accused one time of saying that the Jews can't be saved. Dear time, I ain't never said that. The fellow said it was half full of devils, and his church was absolutely full of devils.
Yeah.
Found out he'd been messing with a woman, and so I didn't know what to think about all that. I literally saw, I don't want to be spooky here, but I saw devils climbing up and down the drapes over his baptistries. I ain't spooky like that. Things go bump in the night, I send Jennifer to check on
him.
I tell her, hey, God needs me to go preach, baby. He needs this vessel. Thankfully, I married her out of the Florida swamp. She's got a cast iron skillet. Maybe God's called you to protect God's man. I tell her these things, Brother Lawson. I don't know if it registers. That man said, later said that I said, God won't save a Jew. Well, that's crazy. This thing's for Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, barbarian and Greek. And thank God the gospel's for everybody.
Amen.
But we know that blindness in part has happened to Israel. There's a veil on their face.
That's right.
Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I feel like World War I prepared the land for the people. The British drove the Arabs out, and then I feel like World War II prepared the people for the land. Hitler tried to kill them, and he killed a bunch of them, but he managed to get them all headed back into Israel.
Amen.
World War III is probably going to put the king on the throne. Y'all ain't helping me. Are we back to the Jews standing at the precipice? On the other end of the church age. Where Hebrews was. They were standing on the front end of the church age. And whoever is in the book of Hebrews is saying, come on in, it's for you too.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on.
Have
we come now to millennia on the other end, and is the Jews fixing to get in? When the heavens roll back like a scroll and every eye sees him, and that fountain, Zechariah, opens up 3.5 days and they repent and wash. And what are those wounds in thine hand? I got them in the house of my friend.
Amen.
Are we on the other end of this thing with Jews fixing to get in? And it's God, we're right there with the Jews again on a national level. And is the Lord telling the Gentiles what he had to tell them? Get in or get out. Fix to be over. Get in or get out. Your dispensation fixes to be over. And in a sense, if you need to study this further, attend his Sunday school for a year. I dropped off some fresh study notes, people. I'd be glad to know that. There them Jews are standing at the threshold. Coming to the end, if you would, of their dispensation. And have we come full circle? And there wasn't very many of them interested, and the blindness was moving in on them. Yeah. Is it so now with the Gentile? Not many of them interested in the blindness.
That's right.
Strong delusion.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of thoughts about people are the Jews gathered up in Jerusalem, calling them Zionists, calling them evil, and I understand what they are and where they are right now. But I feel like the Lord's the one collecting them, and when that heaven rolls back, they'll repent in a moment.
Right. Amen. Right.
They'll see.
Right.
Mm. Are we there right now?
Amen. Yes, sir.
On the other end. Quick thought, preacher, I made one over this last time I was here. I can't remember. It don't matter. Been old beans was good for supper yesterday. They'll be good for supper tonight. Some young preacher said, I don't ever want to repeat myself.
Well, if you said anything worth saying, you'd repeat it a bunch.
Amazing Grace is good every time.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Help me on this, preacher. That rapture, that's for the church. That second coming advent is for the nation of Israel. It's for Jerusalem. And we'll be with him.
Yes.
When the Lord comes back, so do I.
Amen.
I think I'll be on a white horse somewhere behind. The Son of God. By the way, I don't want to spend much time here. I personally feel that families will be judged together at the judgment seat. And church families will be judged together.
Amen.
I think church family will be seated together at the marriage supper.
Yeah.
I think church family will be mounted together in them horses, them battalions. I got a feeling every church, this is just me, I can't prove this, so, but you can't disprove it. I kind of feel like there'll be banners. Amen. Woo! And in the South, the Lord's going to have to unscramble everything, get everybody back into rapture. That may all happen at the judgment seat. Amen. Of course, you go a step further, you know, who will she be married to? She's married to seven. The Lord said, marriage, it don't work like that on the other side.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't quite understand. I mean, I grew up in my dad's church, and then I pastored the church, and then I've been in all of y'all's churches, and we're a member of the church right now. I mean, which one in my home church? Which one was her husband? Which one in my church? I don't know. Three or four of them. So my theory kind of falls apart a little bit. Don't think too much on it. Just let me enjoy it. But somehow we'll know as we're known and we'll be together.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Think about this for one little moment before I go any further. The rapture. It's going to be in a moment between the night. It's going to be heard and not seen. You'll hear a voice, 1 Thessalonians 4. You'll hear the trump. You'll hear the archangel. Am I right? And isn't that a Gentile, a church thing? And much like the church age, we don't operate off of sight. We operate off of what we hear. So then faith cometh by
hearing.
Okay? It's a faith age. It's not signs and wonders for all of our friends. Get sucked into the Pentecostal charismatic movement.
Right.
And I believe many of those people, there's many saved Protestants, there's many saved Pentecostals.
That's right.
There's many lost Baptists. I'm more sure of that than anything.
Right.
Please hear my heart. Don't get hung up in the, don't get tangled in the rough. But, oh my, that rapture.
rapture is a, this is a faith age, it's a hearing age, and the rapture is a hearing thing, not a seeing thing.
That's right.
But that second advent is a seeing thing and not a hearing thing. Revelation 1, it doesn't say, and every ear shall hear him. It says, and every eye shall see him. And the signs and the wonders, don't get caught up in them in the church age, are not for the church age. They're usually for the Jews in the transition of dispensations.
Amen.
Kind of what I thought about 15 minutes ago. Don't get caught up in the manifestations of the Spirit. Get caught up in who the Holy Spirit manifests.
Amen.
Don't get caught up in the moving of the Spirit. Get caught up in where the Holy Spirit's moving us to. He's moving us to Calvary. He's moving us to Jesus. Don't get caught up in the ministry of the Spirit. Be caught up in the fact that the Spirit ministers Christ to you.
Amen.
Don't worry about your gifts. Oh, it's usually somebody getting silly. When they start talking about, oh, what are your gifts? I have gifts 1, 3, and 7. Big time. I have gifts 2 and 4. Well, spookity dust on you. What about that? Oh, your gifts ain't for you to talk about. Don't. Those gifts of the Spirit are to, about one thing, getting people to see the gift
Amen.
Of the Son of God.
Amen.
The
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord probably not going to let you know your gifts. Pull them out and show them off.
Yeah.
Oh, here's my gift. I even feel like, preacher, probably it's not so much the gifts, and folks do have gifts that are used. But your problem is a gift to the church. He gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets. Amen. He gave us each other. It ain't so much what your gift is, it's that you're a gift. Amen. Do you know the person who got the spirit of giving on them? The gift of giving may not even have the money. But they like the little whip.
They want to give him everything.
Yeah.
And that gets loose in the church and people don't even believe in giving and start giving.
Amen.
Do you know it may not be the folks that can sing that have a gift of music?
Yeah. That melody may be in somebody's heart that makes the rest of us want to sing.
That's right.
That gift of mercy may belong to somebody who never has to use it. They're so nice, nobody ever gets mad. It's not my particular gift. I do know what mine ain't. But that one soul that's so full of mercy and kindness and compassion gives the rest of us a soft heart.
Exactly.
Great gift. That tear that runs off and drips off your chin because you're suffering for Christ and you love the Lord and people don't even see your tear that happens in your basement. But your tear keeps the soil moist down here so the seed will sow the work.
Amen.
You're a gift. I say we love each other.
Amen.
I say we forgive each other.
Yeah,
I just found my text. It's chapter 13, verse 1. Started at 12, but doesn't mean that's fine the real one. 13:1. If I'm correct, I may be wrong. Does it say let brotherly love continue?
Yeah.
Well, that's our new text. Let brotherly love continue. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. How can you do that? Preacher, that little word, continue! That might be some of that wanting to go on. It's real easy to get hurt in church and your verse becomes, let brotherly love cease.
Yeah.
And I got hurt, I ain't going to do this no more, and I'm going home.
Yeah.
What if y'all took 1,000 doors and found everybody, until you found everybody at home, and took 1,000 door survey around your church? And how many would you hear from? We used to go to church. My mama played the piano. My granddaddy was a preacher. Rocks was full of those has beens, used to.
That's right.
And I'm not throwing rocks at them. But I'm going to tell you this. They can't blame nobody. At the judgment,
that's right.
They can't look at the Lord and say, well, that's it's other people's fault that we didn't do so well. No, no. That is not going to fly.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
If brotherly love is going to continue, it's going to come with some hard choices.
That's right. Amen.
To let it continue. Let brotherly love continue. One way you learn to go on with the Lord is learn how to keep that brotherly love.
Amen.
Let's talk about it. You know, if we're going to have them big moves of God that we talked about in the first 10 minutes, if you're going to be a part of that, there's got to be some little things moving around in your heart.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
If he can't move in your heart, don't expect to be a part of it if he moves in your town.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. If you don't let him move in your heart, then move things out of the way that are no good. Bitterness. Wrath. Anger. I've been hurt a couple of times lately by close friends and dear brothers. And I'm not whining because I've read the Fox's Book of March.
Amen.
And I just, you know, it's not quite in that category. God forbid to torture them girls and kill my son. My wife in a Roman Coliseum, then we can talk about stuff.
Yeah.
That's right, amen.
Get your heart bruised by a brother. Now that stuff hurts, but sorry, I've read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and we're just not there.
Amen.
Amen. Okay?
Yes,
but these things are enough to knock us out.
Yeah.
Knock us out of the race. I was sitting there this morning. Or pick up the things up, move them over and see them coming or going. You stay and believe it. He just moved them over and I said, okay, Lord. Maybe I had a problem with pride.
Yeah.
A little bit of issue of thinking too much of myself.
Right.
You know, when we get to hurt feelings, it may just be you had too high of an estimation of yourself.
Right.
How about quit saying, I can't believe they hurt me, and start saying, I can't believe God saved me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Move it over to there.
Yes.
I can't believe they hurt me. I told a man, was it yesterday? Told a man, he said, I can't believe they hurt me. I said, you need to start thinking about how we hurt him.
That's right.
So put this in your mouth instead of that other thing. Put this in your mouth. I can't believe I hurt Jesus.
Yep.
That's a better thing to put in your mouth. Instead of thinking how you got hurt, just start thinking of how he got hurt.
Amen.
He came into his own and his own received him not. How did Joseph feel down in that pit? All of his older brothers. Looking down, some sneering, some scoffing, some ugly, and all of them cruel.
Yeah.
How cruel. Dump their little brother in that pit.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about feeling like nobody loves you. The father loved him and gave him a coat and many colors.
Yeah.
Father. But now you stop this from happening. When they started doing, we started doing to Jesus on the cross, the Father backed up and let it happen.
Yes, he did. Amen.
There's too many angles to the cross. God's the one that wanted it to happen, but God's the one that allowed it to happen.
That's right.
Oh, my. Let brotherly love continue. You'll never learn how to go on until you learn how to forgive and forbear. That forbearance is harder than forgiving. I can forgive you one time. If I got to live with you and your craziness, I got to learn to forbear. That forebear, that's a furry bear. That's a big bear. Oh, my. Let brotherly love continue. I'm almost done tonight, unless I'm not. When that scroll does roll back, they look at one of those wounds in thine hand. He said, I got these in the house of my friends. And he's going to forgive them.
Amen.
Y'all ain't helping me.
Amen.
Did not Joseph forgive his brethren?
Amen.
When they all made it to Egypt and now he's in power. He could have got revenge. He could have entered into retribution. He could have thrown them in a pit. But instead, he took them in a chain. Cut out all the Egyptians. Woo!
Yeah.
Revealed himself to them. And the Bible said he fell on their neck and wept. And he told them, this is in Genesis 45, I think. And he told them to, he said, I want you to forgive yourselves. The Lord is so ready to forgive us. He's already past forgiving us. He wants to deal with us so we can forgive ourselves.
Amen.
There are some things mentioned this morning. I never studied what came out this morning. I never said ever before what came out this morning. The Lord went to early mistakes and sins of the youth. And those are the skeletons that'll come dancing out of your closet and tell you you're no good.
Yeah,
talk to the skeleton. Tell them, I already knew I wasn't no good. But you obviously don't know my Savior.
Good.
He's real good.
He is.
He's real good. Yeah.
Amen.
Joseph wept on their neck and told them to forgive their sins. David would not bow to his brother, Eliab. Probably still steaming over the fact that he wasn't picked to be king. Eliab that day. You're naughty. You're proud. Get back to the house, baby. I got a feeling that I know who was naughty and proud.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you're saying is what we're seeing. And you're telling on yourself. You're naughty, you're proud, you're little. You're not worthy for the battle. I think I know who was naughty. And I think I know who was proud. And I think I know who was actually little. And I think I know who wasn't fit for the battle. I'd say the big guy that wouldn't tackle the giant was not fit for the match. But the little guy who cut some rocks and said, I got a big God.
Amen.
If everybody was screwed over, out. Deal with this uncircumcised Philistine and I got to get back to the sheep.
That's right.
Because he didn't say, I killed the giant and I expect a promotion.
That's right.
And y'all, come here for a minute. I just killed the giant. Hashtag humble giant killer at work. Hashtag maybe outdated, but I live with 2 acres. My 2 acres tell me, Dad, you're the biggest kid in this car.
That's true. That's true.
People ask my kids all the time, your dad really that way? And they say, you just don't know. Oh, my. I know who was naughty and proud. You know what David did? about what all Eliab had done.
And I guarantee you there's a reason that the man that was naturally gifted got picked over for being king.
That's right.
I'd say he's a pretty bad dude.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that right. I'd say he was a pretty wicked fellow.
Yeah.
You got more told Samuel, that ain't him. Could have been, probably should have been. Probably born for it. Probably was a wicked fellow. David could have said a lot right there in front of everybody after he had just been publicly humiliated. Could have said a lot. You know what he said? Could focus on himself. What have I now done? You know, this fixed a lot of marriages and fixed a lot of churches. Instead of telling what the other one's done, ask everybody what I've done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Second question, is there not a cause?
Amen.
Is there not a cause? And I say to you, that it'd do us good to say, my brother, I'm not going to fight you. There's a cause. There's a kingdom behind us. There's an enemy in front of us. And this is not the battle. There's the battle.
Amen. That's true.
John 13, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. I'm closing. Matthew 5. Don't turn there. Let's just walk to it later on tonight. Matthew 5. If you've done something to a brother, you've got to go to him.
Right.
Now, I didn't say to everybody that's upset at you, you got to go to.
Yeah.
It said only if they have a legitimate cause. If thy brother hath aught against thee, he's got a legitimate right. You've done him wrong. But you can't run around to everybody that wants to fuss with you and try to fix it. You can only go to where you've done wrong.
Right. Amen.
Was it Sam Ballot and Tobiah? Look at me and Mike. Two brothers showed up. Well, I want to meet with you. We need a conference with these guys. I'm doing great work. I can't come down.
Right.
I got a sword in one hand and I got a trowel in the other. Brethren, if you're in the work and not in the war, or if you're in the war and not in the work, you got to be in both.
That's right. Amen.
You got nothing but swords, you're going to get nothing done. If you got nothing but trials, you're going to get killed. Just be careful who you use the sword on. Use it on the enemy, not on your brother.
Amen.
But my brother's trying to kill me. God will take care of your brother.
Amen.
Ask Joseph. Ask David. Is there not a cause? Matthew 5, if you've done somebody wrong, you got to go to it. Matthew 18. If they've done you wrong, you got to go to
them.
Yeah. Now, don't go to everybody with your little sideways and your little silly southern iced tea fillings. If you've actually been trespassed and transgressed again, you go to him alone. Go to your brother alone. He don't hear you. Take 2 or 3 witnesses. Don't hear them. Bring him before the church. If you can't get into church, tell the Lord and the church and move on. Just get right with the brother. Better learn how. You know they don't have to get right for you to get right. You handle it right. You be right. You can get right and the situation will be right.
Amen. Yeah.
I never seen where Eliab got right and reconciled.
That's right.
Esau took 20 years with Jacob. The prodigal and the elder. I gave you some Baptist language this morning that we got hurt. We're just not getting fed anymore.
Here's the other one.
Well, I don't know why.
There's only one fellow that came to see him, and that was him. And he came to himself. They some folk you ain't gonna help till they come to themselves, and they must come home. Don't send seven brethren out, you send 10 spies, you send 4 camels loaded down with good. And he ain't coming back till he comes to himself. I need a little help. Let brotherly love continue. You're not gonna last in this. If you let bitterness, anger, wrath, trying to quit now. Had a man in Newport, Newport, Tennessee, probably 20 years ago. Y'all come on and be an evangelist. It's a real blessing sometimes. This is all you see. There's more to it. Got over there in Newport, Tennessee. Preaching a meeting 20 years ago or so. As it turned out later, that preacher was a rascal and a vagabond. Oh my, as it turned out. But things had not yet turned out. Made the mistake, tried to put me and my wife, I had Jennifer with me, the 4 babies. And he said, I'm going to put you in the basement of a house. Okay. We don't have to be painted. I said, we're privacy. It's an unfinished basement. There's no doors. Just some room. Kenny said, we met a trucker yesterday. Over at a truck stop, so he wants to go meet me, so I'm going to put him down there too. There's only one bathroom. I don't be sharing the bathroom. Well, I thought on that for about 1 second. And now you're going to get full disclosure. I'm a 5-generation. They left all of the business reports. They made copies. They probably just had a business meeting. And they were later in there. I picked one up because I'm nosy, because I'm a pickup. We know where the bus candy is. We know when the nursery runs out of animal crackers and you're down to salt things. Hey, we need to stay better. I can break in any church and bring your Bible back. And all preachers' kids, we know who doesn't close their eyes in prayer. God's called us to check. Let's all pray and all preachers' kids. Man. 10 o'clock at night. Brother Smith had his eyes open again. It's our job. We're like the team staff. Well, I picked up this treasury report and seen they had $135,000 in an extra account. $200,000 in the general account. It done dragged to me that all bills were paid. They all just ran through my mind and said, you'll be staying in the basement with a trucker. There's no doors. It ain't a finished basement. Your wife, and you're going to share a bathroom with a trucker. Folks, you ain't going to believe this, but I'm a little hungry. just to keep life alive. Anyway, I said, brother, I can't put my wife down there with a strange man. And I said, I seen some motels advertising $23.95. Probably the best Clean Roads motel around. I said, you reckon? Here was his answer. He was standing out on the porch. He said, well, if what we're offering you ain't good enough for you, then here was his word. He looked around, and there was a shed. He said, that shed over there, that's where we keep the trash. I'll get the trash out, and you put your wife in there. Oh. I went red.
Yeah.
Preacher, I'm not a brawler. I'd rather start the fight and get my 3 big buddies to finish it. went red. And I did grow up with a bunch of brothers and cousins. And our older sister could whoop all of us. And I went red. That man said that about my wife and that trash. He was still talking. He said, there's some old fallen mattresses in the attic. We'll pull them out. Don't slip on them. My fist was tight. I didn't even know it. I hadn't clenched the fist in a decade. Glad comes the night time to get my heart as biscuit. All I heard was broke my wife in the trash, and I was red, and Jennifer said, Dean. And my mind said two different things, and none was fit for Sunday. And I just backed away. I didn't have any words for it. I mean, I did, but it was best not, and I just backed away. I took her and we went and cranked up our little Chevy. Yep. And I drove home all half the night. And I told the Lord, scheduled for a week. I said, Lord, I ain't going back here. And he said, yeah, you are. And it was freezing in winter. And my tires swallowed a screwdriver. On the way back. Boom, boom, boom. I'm out there at 2 a.m. Jack Frost and a polar bear with a Coca-Cola climate tank. On the side of the road, I'm not mechanically inclined. I tore up four things on that vehicle trying to change the tire. Fingers froze. I carried her home. I said, I'm not going back. She said, yeah, you are. I said, what do you say, God? I told her, I said, babe, I'm going back the next day, Monday. I'm going back. I said, I'm going back because the Lord told me. And on the ride back, the Lord said, there's about 83 people in there. They've been having to eat his garbage. And I need a shepherd to feed the sheep. The Lord said, if you look on him, I'm going to do it for me.
Yes.
And so I did. I paid for my own room. He gave me $183 for 6 days of preaching. And when he gave it to me, he told me I offended all of them. He said, you've offended us, our main people. Because I brought the motel bill and the tire bill to the church, and I thought, who's driving preacher kids? Hotel bill, $23 times 6. Keep in mind that $300,000 in the bank. And I did it out of pure monuments. I'm not sure the Lord led me to hand those bills over, but I did. The Lord went silent. I thought, okay, I'll be all right. He didn't rebuke me. He didn't tell me to, but he didn't rebuke me. I'm a little angry. He said, you've offended our staff, you've offended our church, you wouldn't stay in our basement, and you wouldn't, you've handed those bills over. $183 for 6 days, don't pay any bills. I had more in the meeting than they did. And you know what I found out the next week? I was preaching in Newport, Tennessee, the very night, one of those nights, J. Harold Smith was in hospital in Newport, Tennessee. He went to heaven that night. The night I was not going to come back.
Preacher, I'm careful here. This is kind of personal stuff.
But the Lord said, I wanted you preaching right next to that old man.
When he left out, I wanted you to be in the spot.
Yeah. Right there. I was driving in and he was leaving out.
Amen.
Now I'm not going to go any further with that little story, but I sure was.
What if the Lord was wanting to know if I wanted it as bad as that old man.
Amen.
Do you know I forgave that rascal? I told him later, sir, it's a good thing you got all your teeth. I wanted to punch your teeth out. I said, but I forgive you. You got your teeth. You put me away and I love you. I love you. I'll be praying for you and your teeth, but it's going to happen. The Lord made me forgive him, and the Lord gave me a little liberty. Just a little liberty. I sure am glad that I cranked the car and headed back. God had me 5 miles. The old proven veteran evangelist, when he left, I had no idea when I was preaching right under the shadow of his man. That's worth me paying for a little motel room in one time.
Amen.
And that's between me and the Lord. But that was and I would even suggest to you that I got his man or as great a man as he was, but I sure was glad I was a young preacher in my spot when the old preacher left.
Amen.
But brotherly love, continue. I had to have a love for them 83 sheep. They've been having to feed off of toxic waste.
Yep.
Had to go feed the sheep. Amen. This is my 25th year being in the manis. It's not that long. But I sure am glad I can still look at the Lord, but I'm still doing it.
Yep.
For you, with me. Let brotherly love continue. Yes. You better learn how to go on. Our heads are bowed. I want us to stand. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Let brotherly love continue. You've entertained angels unawares and didn't even know it. Oh, my. Would y'all like to gather around and have some prayer? If you'd like to, let's pray. Yes.